Good day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and it's really great you decided to join us today. So when you think about Lansing, our state capital, and the people we send there to do our business, think about how much we don't actually know about what goes on in that Capitol building. We don't know much about who legislators are meeting with or spending their time with. We don't know much about how they collect money to run for office. We certainly don't know a lot about how they spend their campaign money. And none of this is a problem of reporting. We've got a lot of people, journalists, who cover the Capitol, who cover these issues, who ask a lot of questions, ask for records. The problem is that the infrastructure for open government, the laws, don't have the kind of teeth to be able to produce this public information. This is one of the reasons that Michigan consistently ranks near the bottom of national rankings for transparency in government. We also rank really badly when it comes to government ethics. But there have been a lot of things changing in Lansing lately, and this may be one of the things that changes too. Along with all of the other things that the new Democratic majority in Lansing is busy doing, they're also trying to get a discussion started about an expansion of the way we get to see what legislators and the governor actually do in Lansing. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking with a reporter about the bribery scandal that includes a former Michigan House Speaker. And that scandal is something the public knew about long after it happened, which is one of the reasons that this idea of open government, of transparency, is so important. But before we get there, we want to explore more about Michigan's government transparency laws as they stand now. Why are they so lacking? Why is enforcement of them so lacking? And what would it mean to be able to more effectively understand what happens in Lansing? What would it be like to really know what state legislators and the governor are really up to? That's where we begin the conversation today, and to help us explore this, we've got two really great guests. Rachel Louise Just is the statewide political reporter for Channel 3 WWMT-TV, which is based in Kalamazoo. Rachel, welcome to Detroit Today.
Stephen, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Yes, it's great to have you with us. Also with us is Nick Pigeon. He is the executive director of a really wonderful organization called the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Nick, welcome to Detroit Today as well.
Thanks so much for having me, Stephen.
So, Rachel, I'm going to start with you. Help people out who may not understand why transparency in government matters and why we do such a poor job here in Michigan of holding legislators, the governor, local governments as well, accountable for that kind of transparency.
Yeah, that is the crux of the question. And as you were explaining this, this is a fascinating topic for us journalists, but you may have had some viewers tuning out because I think when you talk about transparency, so many voters feel that they are disconnected from this. Why does this matter for me? Realistically, the things that voters say that they don't want to have in government, you know, the so-called swamp, this is exactly what can be destroyed with more transparency, with more sunshine. And in Michigan, as you said, we famously have a horrible sunshine policy here in the state. The things that have come from FOIA just over the last couple of years, I mean, that led to things like the Clinton email scandal, that led to the things that we've seen recently with the bribery from a former speaker. That could have been discovered much earlier, likely, had we had more access to records. So those kinds of things are absolutely crucial for us as journalists, but it's also so important for anyone who cares about how things are operating in the state to be able to know exactly what's happening. And here in Michigan, we have consistently been ranked as the least transparent state in the entire country. And that's simply because we don't have any access, FOIA access, public records access to the legislature or to the governor's office, which is really the areas that we most need to look into.
Yeah. Governor Whitmer has said that she will extend FOIA laws to the executive branch. It's something she said when she was a candidate for the governorship here in Michigan. She's been in power for a while now, was just reelected last fall. Rachel, why has that not happened?
You know, Stephen, that's the question we've all been kind of waiting for. We've all been asking for the last couple of years. She released a really thorough, really great Michigan Sunshine Plan when she was running for governor in 2018. The last couple of years, she hasn't had quite the strength to be able to do some of the things that she wanted to do on there because she was working at the Republican legislature. One Republican leader in particular was very against any kind of access for the media to be able to get records and was very vocal about that. Now that she is in power, she does have that Democratic trifecta. I think she's going to see more pressure on her to push through some of the things that she said were important to push through. She was in the legislature as a leader prior to becoming governor, so she knows exactly the extent of these issues. And I think that's something that we're going to start seeing some pressure being put on her to pass.
Yeah, yeah. Nick, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Talk about why Michigan is uniquely bad at government transparency and kind of extend the conversation here beyond the Freedom of Information Act, which is the way that anybody really can get information, is supposed to be able to get information about government. Our campaign finance laws as well are deeply problematic, not just in the way that they are constructed here in Michigan, but in the way that they're enforced. Talk about how those two things together kind of create a mix of clouded government in our state.
Sure. As you mentioned, we are uniquely bad. We've talked about some of the rankings prior, but we are dead last in the Center for Public Integrity's ranking and 48th in the Coalition for Integrity Swamp Index. That's the states with anti-corruption measures and public officials index. This is largely due to what we've been talking about, our FOIA law having the exemption for our legislature and our governor. And most importantly, we are one of two states without a public official financial disclosure law, which is something that's changing due to the passage of Prop 1 in 2022. It is only us in Idaho that do not require our public officials to file annual financial disclosure statements. So that changing soon will change some of the calculations in our transparency.
And let's talk about campaign finance laws in particular. It seems that one of the real problems is that the people who are responsible for following those laws don't do it in good faith. And when they don't, there aren't a lot of consequences available for that behavior. If you don't file your reports on time, if you file reports that don't include all of your activities, there really is not any kind of, there's no punishment for doing that.
No, I mean, certainly, you know, they can keep kicking that can down the road. You can still continue to work through the committee and do work on behalf of the committee, even if you receive letters from the Secretary of State, and eventually might become a problem for the treasurer if you're assessed fines and whatnot. But, you know, as far as still working through the committee, you know, they can keep kicking the can down the road. And for many, it's kind of seen as just a transactional cost of doing business as part of a committee and running for an open seat.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking with Rachel Louise Just, who is a state political reporter for Channel 3WMTV in Kalamazoo. Also with us is Nick Pidgeon. He's the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. We're talking about transparency here in the state of Michigan, transparency of our state government in particular, why it is so obscure, and what we need to do to make it more transparent. We'd love to hear from you as well, our listeners, during the conversation. What do you think of how transparent government is here in Michigan? How do you think it would change our politics if we were able to get more information about what the state legislature and the governor are actually up to? What would you think if, for instance, local officials were held differently accountable for FOIA? I want to talk in just a little bit about the difficulty that, if you live, for instance, in the city of Detroit, getting information out of the city of Detroit or Wayne County government is also really difficult. Also, do you have questions about why our government is not very transparent or how public records requests work? This is the time to ask those questions. We've got two really great guests with us who know a lot about these things. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Rachel, I want to talk about the possibility that a Freedom of Information Act bill might pass the House and the Senate. What is the state of the shaping up of that legislation? And I guess how likely are we to see the new majority in Lansing actually do something?
That is something that I asked the governor about last week. She gave what I believe is her first indication that we're certainly going to be doing something about this, but it was a little vague. She told me, I think the quote was, "You'll be seeing a lot of potential progress." So for me, as a journalist, that's exciting to hear, but potential progress is pretty vague. We still don't know that much about what exactly this will do. Luckily, we do know that there is an appetite for this within the legislature, at least even a bipartisan appetite for it on some level. We've seen two senior senators, which is Senator Ed McBroom. He's from the up north, the UP area, and then we have Senator Jeremy Moss. They've both collaborated on Open Records Act legislation, and it simply just wasn't able to get anywhere with the former Senate Majority Leader in power. So if we see them introduce this now, it's very possible that that could move forward. Of course, it's just a stepping stone, but it's much more significant legislation than we've ever seen pass through the Michigan legislature in probably decades when it comes to transparency.
Yeah. Nick, one of the problems here, of course, is that we are dependent on the folks who have to abide by these laws to actually pass those laws. That's true with FOIA. It's also true with campaign finance. It's something that can be very frustrating, I think, to ordinary citizens who, I think, pretty universally would say transparency is a pretty good thing and that we need more of it here in Michigan. I wonder if you can talk about how this works in places that are more transparent. What is the lever that ordinary citizens are able to pull that gets legislators and maybe a governor to take this more seriously?
Well, you know, I think that's a good question. It's something that I grapple with. People talk about, you know, transparency and being something that, you know, the public generally might not pay attention to on a day-to-day basis, but just having those laws in place and the threat that, you know, your internal communications can be FOIA'd, that you will have to disclose some of your financial transactions and your business relationships, just on its own keeps, you know, our public officials on the straight and narrow. Even if, you know, the general public isn't making those inquiries, you know, there are amazing reporters and people in the state, like you said, who will follow this and track this. And just knowing that that's out there really does a lot in ensuring that our public officials are doing what their constituents demand and being as transparent as possible.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Rachel Louise Just and Nick Pigeon. Also want to get going with you, the listeners, on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number here. You can also go to Twitter, hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation. Call and tell us what you think about transparency in state politics and how we make it a little better. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've decided to join us today. We're talking right now with Rachel Louise Just, who's a statewide political reporter for WWMT Television in Kalamazoo. Also with us is Nick Pigeon. He's the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. We're talking about government transparency in Lansing, our state capital, why it is so weak, especially in comparison to other states, and whether there's an opportunity because of the current political alignment in Lansing for us to do better. I want to hear from you, the listeners on the program as well. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number here. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. Nick, I want to talk a little more about Proposal 1, which you referenced earlier in the program, that was passed by Michiganders in the midterm elections last year, and it requires financial disclosures of lawmakers and statewide elected officials. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have, not just on transparency, but on our politics here in Michigan?
Certainly. Well, you know, as I previously mentioned, Michigan is only one of two states not to have these laws already on the books. This contrasts heavily. You know, Michigan is a full-time, very professional and active legislature. States that, you know, have notoriously part-time legislatures have really stringent laws when it comes to, you know, having to have their legislators file these annual financial disclosure statements. So what this law will require is for state legislators to have to disclose their assets, you know, their positions held as an officer, director of trustee in other organizations, and have to disclose some gifts and travel reimbursements. I think along the lines of what we've been talking about, how important transparency is to keep our public officials on the straight and narrow, this is going to go a long way in improving our standing in the eyes of some of the Coalition for the Transparency rankings we talked about earlier.
Rachel, did the governor say much about what voters said they wanted in the midterms? We talked earlier about her campaign pledge to be kind of all about these issues, but the voters have spoken recently about this, also spoke pretty loudly a few years before about it.
Yeah, I think that we didn't see her focus on it in the last election nearly as much as she did in her first election. Mm-hmm. It's commonplace for someone who's coming into their first term in something like the governorship to be focusing on things like transparency, the core issues that they see within the Lansing or that area. Now that she's in government, it's a little harder to be critical of those things since she's been the person that's been in power, whether or not she had control over that legislation or not, which in some cases she didn't. But I do think that the outpouring of support for Prop 1 is a pretty good indication that while the clause on Prop 1 are maybe not as strong as we'd like them to be here in Lansing, they are something, and it shows that voters do care about this and they do want to see change from their government in Lansing.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's start today with Fred in Milford. Fred, what's on your mind?
Stephen, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. A couple things. Just put a little balance in this perspective for the listeners, and they can make their decisions on what's good and what's bad. I have many times sought information under the Freedom of Information Act, only to be discouraged and frustrated so many times because you get so little for your money. So I'm all for let's make it a let's bring the sunshine, as McCarthy would say, into it. Let's see what's going on. And if you look at the Women of League Voters that filed the lawsuit on gerrymandering for Michigan, they went to federal court and they got a 3-0 decision that said, yeah, we've been illegally gerrymandered by the Republican Party for the last 20-some years, and they were going to change that, and they were going to change it immediately and hold a new round of elections. And the fire for that decision was emails that somebody had purloined from our legislature showing a smoking gun that, yeah, we're going to do this, gerrymandering, and we're going to get away with it. On the other hand, those who sit in government have to have, like the lawyers and clients do, a privilege, or the doctors do with clients, with patients, a privilege, so that they can really discuss in robust terms what their fears are going forward with new policy, with new laws. Otherwise, they may be sued as racist, or they may be sued as bigots, or they may be sued as for any reason because they let their guard down and they talked about their real feelings. So we got to strike a balance somewhere between, yeah, let the public see what's really going on, but let the legislatures and those in charge of policies and the politicians have some kind of a robust discussion that they don't have to worry about looking over their shoulder. Just like attorneys and clients, we don't have to look about looking over our shoulder. Fred, so striking that balance is important.
Fred, that's a really interesting point. I'm glad you called. Nick Pidgeon, what is the right balance there? How much freedom do government officials need to have to be able to, you know, have robust and passionate political argument, and how does that, when does that bump up against the public's right to know what they're up to?
Sure. I think that really does apply to on a case by case basis. And that's why, you know, there's a FOIA coordinator. There's someone who, you know, weighs those checks and balances. And, you know, if there's just a clear exemption from even being able to be subject to those laws, you can't even start to, you know, make that balance and ask, you know, is this something that, you know, would really help the public, or is this something that we do, you know, we can't disclose due to a clear invasion of privacy or something like that? Just exempting bodies from this makes it so we can't even start to have that discussion.
Yeah. Again, Fred, really appreciate the call and the questions. Robert called in and cannot stay on the line, but wants to know if a new law would include spouses for disclosures. He says sometimes officials say it's the spouse and not them, and that is a way to kind of hide activity. I think that he's talking about campaign finance laws there. He says think about Clarence and Jenny Thomas. Of course, Clarence Thomas in the news last week as well for activity that he did not disclose for decades with a pretty prominent Republican donor nationally. Nick, what's the question about how to handle that? And also give us a sense of whether we might see new action on campaign finance laws along with FOIA.
That's a good question. There are many states, you know, in reference to the Prop 1 law and having these financial disclosures for public officials, do extend those disclosure requirements to spouses, even in some cases to their children, members of their household. Right now, as law stands, again, we only have what's in Prop 1 currently, not what the legislature will eventually have to pass by December 31st of this year. You know, we are yet to see, you know, how they're going to extend the disclosure requirements in the law.
Rachel, what's the timeline look like, do you think, for the legislature to actually get into this and start considering these FOIA changes?
Stephen, I think that's the question that's all around Lansing right now. We just don't know. As far as I'm aware, unless something has popped up under my radar, there hasn't been legislation actually introduced on yet so far with this legislature. And again, I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. We did see it introduced last year. And so it's not hard to repackage legislation that's been thoughtfully produced by former lawmakers and reintroduce it in a new session. We just haven't seen that happen yet. However, so many of the priorities that Democrats had going into this year
have pretty much gotten introduced or been significantly pushed through the legislature. So once those things are done, those priorities are completed, I think that's when we might begin to see this actually be introduced, because at this point, they've been able to put it off in some ways, whether that's intentional or not, to push through their other things that may be more pressing. So hopefully soon, but truly, we don't have quite a timeline yet.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay, Rachel Louise Just and Nick Pidgeon, great to have both of you here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break again. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about transparency in state politics. We're going to shift the focus just a little bit to talk about the marijuana bribery scandal that unfolded in Michigan last week. Really mind-blowing stuff about a former Speaker of the House involved in a bribery scandal. Also want to continue to hear from you on the phones and on social. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number here. Let us know what you are concerned about when it comes to transparency and ethics in our government. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.